With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
What the report showed us was that actual cattle on feed as of April 1st was just below 11.6 million head. That's actually down about 0.5% from a year ago. That falls within line of pre-report estimates. Analysts are actually expecting it to be down about 0.3%. So fairly in line with expectations there.
Tyler Cousins is director of the Livestock Marketing Information Center.
Placements came in at just over 1.7 million head. That's actually down just over 7% from a year ago. Analysts are expecting it to be down just under 7%.
And marketing's in at 1.63 million head, slightly above the trade expectation. But even so, marketing's down 6% from last year. They remain historically low for the month of March, again, reflecting smaller available supplies. Federal Reserve's April Beige Book shows a mixed and increasingly cautious outlook for ag and rural America, with rising costs and uncertainty offsetting some of the strength in commodity prices. Now, across multiple Federal Reserve districts, crop and livestock prices increased. Gains in corn, soybeans, wheat, cattle, hogs, eggs, and dairy. But farm income expectations declined in key regions, reflecting tighter margins and ongoing financial pressure in the crop sector. Input costs remain a major concern. Energy prices, in particular fuel, rising and feeding directly into higher transportation, higher fertilizer, and more expensive operating costs. Some districts also reported fertilizer price spikes tied to global disruptions, while freight and logistical charges are becoming more common. Tight cattle supplies continuing to support strong prices this year, even as overall beef production projected to decline. That's according to USDA's latest livestock, dairy, and poultry outlook. Beef production forecast 25.79 billion pounds, slightly below earlier estimates as slower slaughter rates are only partially offset by heavier carcass weights. Gasoline formulation rules, not fuel demand, limiting ethanol use during the highest consumption months of the year. That's directly impacting corn-based ethanol markets. Federal regulations tied to reed vapor pressure require lower volatility gasoline blends during the summer to reduce emissions. Well, because ethanol increases volatility when blended, well, most of the country restricts blends above 10% during peak driving season, which effectively sidelines E15 just as gasoline demand increases. So that dynamic creates a seasonal ceiling on ethanol use, even as gasoline demand strengthens. Environmental Protection Agency has occasionally issued waivers allowing for summer E15 sales, but without a permanent policy fix, ethanol demand remains inconsistent. So for corn producers, impact is direct. Ethanol accounts for a major share of domestic corn use, and limiting higher blends during summer reduces the potential demand growth at a critical time. And how about U.S. hemp production? It expanded significantly last year, total value rising to $739 million, signaling renewed growth in a sector that's faced volatility in recent years. It's Agriculture Today.
Introducing the heavyweight champion of the livestock operation, Case IH Farmall Utility Series Tractors.
Farmall Utility Tractors don't just outweigh the competition. They're engineered to distribute weight where it works, from the transmission, central housing, and axles to the differentials and final drives. So add some weight to your operation and go the distance with Farmall Utility Tractors.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
The USDA numbers that will come out very likely will follow the same higher corn acreage, a little lower soybean acres than we had thought we'd have. And we'll see where the supply and balance sheets go.
Kansas State grain marketing economist Dan O'Brien.
Well, I don't doubt that the yield trends will match up with those coming out of the USDA Ag Outlook Forum. Again, we have no evidence to the contrary in terms of field conditions or what little is planted, and it's not emerged yet for the most part. And so we're guessing long-term trend yields. So those numbers will come out. They'll be estimating large crops or normal to large crops. So I don't know that will change the market much. In fact, if there's a surprise, it would be that those numbers that come out for soybeans, for corn, for grain sorghum, for wheat, the spring wheat in Durham, that if they weren't anything other than bearish, that would be a surprise, basically. So we'll see where things go. I would say that when you look at the feed grain markets, we still continue to have pretty decent corn exports. For the week ending April the 9th, we had about 61 million bushels shipped, and that's just a bit less than the 68.5 million bushels that are on a weekly basis anticipated that we need to meet this 3.3 billion bushel export goal that that the USDA has set. And that's I think the highest we had previously was about 2.7 or 2.8. So a tremendous year export wise for corn, and holding up a decent pace. In fact, we have sales and shipments together about 2.9 billion bushels, and so about 86-87% of the way to this 3.3 billion bushel tremendous record that the USDA is projecting for corn exports. So 87% of the way to the USDA's goal, and we're only about 63-64% of the way through the marketing year. So very, very positive. Sorghum has been holding up in terms of exports. We had for the week ending April the 9th, we continue to have pretty strong sorghum exports, just a bit over 8 billion bushels, 8 million bushels. That'd also make a difference. 8 million bushels of U.S. sorghum exports via pace of about just a little over 5 to meet the USDA's projection on a weekly basis. So holding up really quite well. I would say for soybeans, weekly pace for April the 9th, last data we have of 30 million bushels at exports actually shipped out of the U.S. We need a pace of about 25.7 with USDA's projection. Of course, we're balancing when the big bulk of all South American beans are going to come onto the market. And who's going to buy them? Is it China or someone else? So that's really more of a, although it looks like a bullish number, there's still question marks around the pace that we'll have. Wheat has been, has had some times in this marketing year where it's been gone very well, but not so much right now. We hear of international shipments from Russia and other countries going quite well. And I think that's competing pretty hard right now with the U.S. for shipments. So, we stand back and look at the markets. We're in mid-April, planting, and all that's ahead of us. We'll be watching weather closely and hoping usage holds up. And so far it has. Ethanol's been going pretty decently. Exports holding up well. And this nagging issue on the feed grain side of what higher fertilizer prices will do, if that'll end up and draw us back in terms of the amount of corn acres and corn production we had, corn and sorghum acreage and production that we'd have this year. So those are some of the things we'll be watching going forward.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Well, you know, every day, you know, hundreds of thousands of ranchers drive around checking water and pumps and wells on ranches because they have to.
Andrew Coppen is founder and CEO of RanchBot.
It's not an optional thing as to whether or not your cattle and your livestock have got water or not. You have to know. And so we created a technology that would hook all of those that water infrastructure into the internet using satellite sensors that would tell the rancher there was water availability, pick up leaks, tell them if the pump's on or off, even allow them to turn the pump on and off remotely without them even having to go there. And so we're saving ranchers, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in their operations, and more importantly, giving them time and peace of mind to know what's happening in the back pasture without having to go there.
Talks about the perfect storm in beef production.
We've got the perfect storm of, you know, really high demand for exceptional beef that the US ranchers produce. You know, we've started a frenzy in red meat protein. So demand for our product is high at a time when our product availability is low. And that's predominantly after we've been dealing with sort of 6 or 7 years of drought across most of the rangelands of America. And as you point out, Texas now at the end of winter is looking very dry. And across all of the rangelands in the US, sort of 60 to 70% of the rangelands are in the early phases of drought again. So a rancher's decision as to whether or not they're going to retain heifers and grow out their herd is heavily driven by the availability of grass and water being the two key inputs. And if you're looking at a drought, your option to hold cattle and continue to build out your herd is limited. Add to that, we've got increased fuel and gas costs at the moment. And, you know, it's a tough decision for a rancher to make. Am I going to take the risk if I don't have grass? I'm going to have to bring in feed. You know, that's going to be more expensive. Transport's going to be expensive. So, you know, the economics of ranching are challenging at the best of times.
And then there's been the volatility in energy markets.
Increasing oil prices, you know, which is sitting at, you know, $114 a barrel today, you know, is a tax on everyone. I mean, not a lot happens in the world without something moving from A to B. And ranching is no different. In fact, ranching is very, very heavily dependent upon transport, moving cattle from the market to the ranch, moving cattle from the ranch to the market, driving around in the F-250 or the Dodge Ram, checking water, checking fences, checking cattle. You know, the expense line in any rancher's P&L for fuel and wear and tear on vehicles is very significant. So when we see an increase in price of, you know, 30 or 40% over a couple of months, you know, ranchers can't stop doing those jobs, you know, necessarily, unless they think differently about how they're doing it. And that's sort of where RanchBot can step in and keep those fuel costs down by 30 or 40% and effectively offset the fuel price increase. Of our 12,000 plus customers, we hear readily that we do save them tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in fuel costs. So I think there's never been a better time for ranchers to reassess, hang on, if I can't negate the gas price increase, what can I do to keep the costs lower?
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
You can't have a war like we had without damage to infrastructure. We just don't know the scope of that damage to infrastructure at this point.
Arlen Suderman is chief commodities economist with StoneX.
When storage on the crude oil side, when the straits shut down, the first thing to happen with crude oil is the storage facilities filled up. And once they filled up, the wells were shut down. It takes time to bring those wells back up. It's been said that it'll take 2 weeks to bring production back to the 50% level, maybe a month to get it to the 80% level. What is the scope of the damage to infrastructure? How close can we take it up to 100%? I'm sure we can't take it to 100%. We just don't know the level below that yet. Is it 80%? Is it 75%? Is it 90%? We don't know. We should be able to get a better feel for that in the days ahead. And then you have to have the rebuilding of the damage, or the repairing of the damage. For some, for example, in the Pars gas field, it's been said that whatever damage is there could take as much as 3 to 5 years to repair. Okay, let's say 2 to 3 years if you want to be more optimistic. But that means we have crude oil production, we have natural gas production below levels they were pre-war. So prices have to bring demand down to levels to match the supply. When it comes to fertilizer, needing that gas for feedstock, gas supplies are reduced. Who gets priority on the supply since everybody can't have what they had before? Fertilizer probably is not at the top of the priority list there. So that means reduced fertilizer output, and that's even if there is no damage to fertilizer infrastructure, and there likely is. So we're probably looking at fertilizer production and crude oil and energy production being curtailed for quite some time, for months if not years. Meaning price has to bring demand down to levels of production. From an energy standpoint, that means that we see this initial flush down of crude oil prices, et cetera, and then we'll elevate back up to whatever level that is that brings that supply and demand into balance as we get a handle on how much damage has been done.
Now, the price of oil did jump sharply and stock futures tumbled to start the week as traders digested renewed tensions between the U.S. and Iran over the Strait of Hormuz.
Doesn't mean everyone's well supplied right away, because just as the war started on February 28th and the last ships to pass through the strait were on their way to their destinations for the next month, and it was really the first few days of April before all of them had reached their destinations, now it's going to take that amount of time for the ships to get to their destinations. So in the meantime, the shortages and the outages are going to continue to escalate, meaning airlines in Asia canceling flights, freight costs high, lack of fuel, truck lines lack of fuel, to some extent in Europe as well, but the worst in Asia. We've even seen energy products and crude oil and even fertilizer reverse flow exporting out of the United States, trying to expedite movement to Asia to fill some of that deficit on a quick order basis. So it's going to take a while, and we may see some of the shortages get worse before they get better.
It's Agriculture Today.
Introducing the heavyweight champion of the livestock operation, Case IH Farmall Utility Series Tractors.
Farmall Utility Tractors don't just outweigh the competition. They're engineered to distribute weight where it works, from the transmission, central housing, and axles to the differentials and final drives. So add some weight to your operation and go the distance with Farmall Utility Tractors.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
Bad moonshots. That is a great way to put it.
John Duff is founder and CEO of Cerro Ag, a Texas company based in Lubbock. He talks about ARPA-E.
Moonshots is a phenomenal term for what they do. And in fact, in some of their official literature, I think they actually use the word moonshots. That's the exact kind of projects that they fund and have been funding now for all about 10 to 15 years.
Again, that ARPA-E program, founded and funded by the Department of Energy, or DOE.
Today, DOE's portfolio includes a number of technologies. Probably the most exciting today is a project called Teosinte, and that's specifically looking at nitrogen and cutting nitrification losses in sorghum. And so one of the projects, for example, Texas A&M project, is looking at BNI, biological nitrification inhibition, and that's reducing N2O losses from the plant, so much so that the plant could require 50% less nitrogen. And so direct impact there on the farmer. Direct impact on the farmer's bottom line, direct impact on the sustainability score of that grain that could be leaving the farm and going into an ethanol plant. And so there's real value in the farmer's pocketbook in the form of lower inputs, but also to the ethanol plant in terms of a lower sustainability score that will translate to higher value for the grain. So absolutely, there's a spectrum, highly theoretical all the way to today, plant breeding that is directly impacting the farmer's bottom line. And the resource intensity of the crop production.
But what's ahead for research in sorghum?
I'd say we're probably really focused on two or three, and maybe I'll just pick two here. Water is one, and really closely related to water is silage and the growth of forage acres. We're out of water out here, and I'm sitting outside the Leveland ethanol plant right now, west of Lubbock. And just south of me, 3 miles, is my parents' house, and the farm that they live on. We've got less and less and less water every year, and we never had much water to begin with. And so, I was thinking we couldn't really get much worse. And lo and behold, those wells have continued to figure out a way to get worse. And so we're out of water, and that's a phenomenon from where I'm sitting all the way to the Nebraska line and beyond. And we got to do something about that. The animals that are out here eating every day, aren't going anywhere, and we don't want them to go anywhere, and we got to figure out how to keep them here. And the way to do that is to plant forages like sorghum forage that uses significantly less water than other crops, and produces about the highest quality fiber that there is. And so, whether it's water, whether it's silage, I think that's one thing we're excited about and watching really closely in the industry and trying to figure out ways to create value for farmers and reasons to plant sorghum. And then the other big one we're watching is biofuel. The opportunity around biofuel is just as strong, if not more strong, than it ever was with the 45Z tax credit coming online. There's actually value in the farm practices. So no-till, nitrification inhibitors, different application timing, cover crops, those things all have value under Section 45Z, Clean Fuel Production Credit. And if you can implement those practices and you can get the grain to an ethanol plant or an elevator that's hauling to an ethanol plant, there's an opportunity for that farmer to capture value through the ethanol plant because of that tax credit. And so those are a couple of the cool things we're watching out for and looking over the horizon for sorghum that each of which could be pretty transformational, and we're working actively every day to try to figure out how we put systems in place to capture as much of that value back to the sorghum farmer as possible.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
We had 52,000 farmers apply in a four-day period for the Farmer Bridge Assistance online versus what was normally about 5,000 online over 4 months for the ECAP and the other programs. So these are significant steps forward to support our farmers.
Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins testifying before a House Ag Appropriations Subcommittee. Rosa DeLauro from Connecticut.
I was extremely disappointed to see the steep cuts to vital programs proposed in the president's budget request. There are some 6.7 million people who rely on the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program for women, children, or the WIC program. This budget would reduce the WIC benefit for fruit and vegetables by as much as 75% per person. If this were to become reality, it would almost certainly cause a dramatic increase in child hunger and malnutrition. The president's budget also proposes eliminating the Food for Peace and the McGovern-Dole programs, which not only denies food to the starving and destitute around the globe, but deprives American farmers of the revenue they need for growing this food. These are programs that benefit American farmers and help alleviate world hunger. But the Trump administration evidently does not see this as a priority. They also propose eliminating the Commodity Supplemental Food Program. That provides food for more than 700,000 low-income seniors. There are more than 70 programs under USDA that the president proposes to eliminate in his budget request, in addition to the ones that I've just spoken about. The programs cover a broad swath of issue areas, civil rights, rural development, agriculture research, and more. It's a recipe for abandoning the American people and degrading the public services that millions of families rely on. The price of everyday goods continues to escalate. Grocery prices are up. Gas prices are up. Utility costs, housing costs, healthcare costs are through the roof. And the administration's only plan is to decimate the public programs that help to alleviate the strain on working families and farmers across the country. That isn't going to solve anything. It will only make the problem worse. I want to take a moment here to talk about Congressman's power of the purse. Those of you who know me know that I'm a staunch defender of the Congress's prerogative over federal spending. It's our job in the Congress to work together to approve funding. It's the job of the executive branch and of you, Madam Secretary, to distribute in the manner that we have directed. I raise this not because I believe we are in need of a civics lesson, although perhaps some might be, but as a reminder of your role in the process. Last year, during the prolonged funding lapse in the fall, USDA refused to distribute nutrition assistance through food stamps to millions of Americans for weeks. The administration was ordered to distribute this critical assistance by several federal courts. Time and again, they refused. Feeding hungry families is exactly what Congress had in mind when we approved the funding for the food stamp contingency fund. We set aside that money so that in the event of an emergency, like a government shutdown, for example, there would be funding available to continue the program. But what happened was that USDA and the administration fought tooth and nail, even violating court orders not to distribute that money. It was the American people who suffered. And I would just say this. I thought it was really pretty extraordinary that with the department's help, the president went to the Supreme Court to deprive children of food. Again, it's astounding. That's not only a failure of the administration's constitutional duty to execute the laws of the Congress rights, but I believe that's a moral failure.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.